Turn tonight to your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, that's over in the Old Testament. I love this passage of Scripture. I've been reading it for years. God has blessed my heart through it. I believe if you'll just stick with this passage of Scripture, the Lord will bless you and you will be successful or have a successful Christian life. Listen to what it says in Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, that if we want to have a Christian life that's successful, Lord, here's the answer. And God, we give you the praise. Open our hearts that we might see it tonight. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This scripture is talking about being prosperous, successful, having a successful, being a successful servant of the Lord. Joshua was that kind of man. Did Joshua enjoy spiritual prosperity in his life? I believe if you look at his life, you would have to say yes. Did he accomplish anything in the spiritual realm? Well, that would be a pretty good answer, and I think you'll find it in just a moment. If you look at Joshua, did he know the victory of the personal life in Jesus Christ? And tonight, do you have that victory in Christ Jesus? Well, turn, if you will, over in your Bible to Joshua chapter 24, and look what the Lord says about Joshua. 24, verse 31. It says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now, if you look at that verse of Scripture and you look at Joshua's life, a whole nation served God because of Joshua's influence and what he did for God, the prosperity and the spiritual success of life of this man Joshua was right there in the Word of God. And what a thing for God to write in the Word of God about a life of a man named Joshua. People served God because of his life, because of the life he lived in the Lord. They followed his lifestyle. It affected their life, and it influenced them to serve God all the days that they lived. Well, I think you find a success in a person's life in about five or six things. And I'm going to let you write them down if you want to write them down, or I'll tell you in just a moment. The first ingredient for success in the Christian life, one I mentioned this morning, is obedience. Obedience. Look at the words back in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. You see the words to do, and observe to do, and according to do. What God wants you to do. Folks, if we're going to have success in the Christian life, you've got to obey God's word. There's no spiritual success apart from being obedient to the Lord and his commandments. If you want to grow a church, you've got to be obedient to the Lord. If you want to grow a Christian life, you've got to be obedient to the Lord. That will grow you to a successful life. God told Joshua, after the death of Moses, He said, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now I want you to arise and go over to Jordan. I'm thinking Joshua was a young man at that time, and he was probably thinking, how in the world am I going to lead this group of people? They have been rebellious against Moses, against God. This group of people is a tough group of people. How am I going to do that? God said, Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Well, you know, he followed God's instructions for his life. He went after God with his whole heart. Now, when Jesus left his disciples, and over in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You stay there until you receive that power. And that's exactly what they were did. They did. They were there in the upper room. They were praying, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and the people there, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. You cannot build a life apart, or a successful life, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Folks, you can live your whole life, and if you don't live for Jesus Christ, you have failed. You have failed miserably. If you do not pass on Jesus Christ to your children and to your grandchildren and to people around you, you're not doing what God said do. God said, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, pass it on. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the other parts of the world. And if we don't do that, then we're not doing what God says. And when we follow his instructions, guess what? He blesses. God blesses. Now, do you think by any chance every time you go and knock on a door or every time you witness to someone, they're going to come to Christ? Not on your life. They're not going to do that. But let me tell you, if you are obedient to go, if you do what God tells you to do and you go and you witness to people, he will bless you for being obedient, you see. Obedience is important. Acts 5:29, we read, it's better to obey God than man. That's the case. They were throwing them in the prison and tell them to shut up, not to talk about Christ anymore. And they said, hey, we can't do that. We've got to obey Christ. God had a problem with people who didn't obey him. Remember Saul over in the Old Testament? Over in Samuel, God says, Saul, you go out there and you conquer the king and take everything and you slay it. Don't leave anything alive. Well, Saul thought, well, you know, that's a pretty good thing, but I got a better idea. I'm going to lead this old king back down to the city, and people will cheer and they'll see how great a king I am. So he brought the herds of sheep and the things like that and the old king, and there comes Samuel, and he said, have you obeyed God? He said, oh, yeah, I've been obedient. About that time, he hears those sheep bleating. And he said, what's that I hear? Oh, he said, you know, that's some sheep. Well, didn't God tell you to kill them and kill the king? He said, oh, well, you know, why waste all of this stuff? That's his idea. I've got a better idea. And Samuel said, Saul, to God it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And he wasn't a successful king. As a matter of fact, God took his kingdom away from him. Folks, that's not being obedient to God. Every word, he says, every word you are to observe and to do, according to all that I have commanded you. And if we will obey God in our lives, It doesn't matter if everybody's going to follow you, but you obey God in your life, and God will bless you. That's the way God wants you to be. And one thing we need today in our generation is to get our people to realize we need to obey the Word of God. We need to obey God. The problem with America today is we're not obeying God. And we're not going to be a successful nation. It doesn't matter who's president. It's not going to straighten up until we get our lives right with God. Meditate. The second thing, we've got to meditate on the Word. It says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." What's that mean? If you're going to be successful, you have to feed upon the Word of God. You feed your body spiritual food every day for energy to go and do this. You need to feed your mind some kind of spiritual food and let it dwell in you. That just simply means fill your life and think about what you're reading and think about God, as Teddy said a while ago, laying there. Sing His praises. Mull it over in your mind. Let me ask you, has the Word of God dwelt with you this week? Have you even thought about the Word of God this week? I'm sure most of you have. You're here tonight, and I hope you don't just go home and say, "Well, that was two good messages the preacher preached, but you know, I just don't have time this week. I'm busy." Make time somewhere to dwell upon the Word of God. I have people all the time come and they say, "Well, preacher, we want to get our lives right with God. We're going to start living for God. We're going to do this." And they make a commitment, and then Sunday night, they're nowhere to be found. What kind of commitment is that? Next week, they're not in church again. What kind of commitment is that? You see, they want God to bless, but they don't want to obey the Word of God. It's not going to happen. We have to confess what the Word has said. And if we want God to bless our lives, we've got to get into the Word and obey it and meditate upon it. Man, I tell you what, if you don't meditate upon it, the devil's going to take your mind. He's going to trip you up. Every idle moment, he's going to mess with your mind. You see, Satan says all the negatives. And somehow or another, we believe those negatives, don't we? Somehow or another, we tend to help old Satan out. He don't need any help. He's got all the help he needs. We don't need to be critical. We don't need to be negative. We need to find out what God says and dwell upon the good things that God says, and he will bless you. The old devil comes along and says, "Just repeat that gossip. It won't hurt nothing. You got to tell somebody." You know, don't do it. Don't be negative. That's of the devil. Be positive. Fill your mouth with the words of God. Now, it's two ingredients, obedience and meditate. The third ingredient I see here in this passage of Scripture, follow spiritual leadership. He followed spiritual leadership. "All thy commandeth we will do," it says in verse 16. Look what they said. So they answered Joshua. He's told them this. And they said, "All that you, Joshua, command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." Did you hear that? They said to their leader, "All you tell us, we'll do." There is a spiritual principle all through the Bible, and it's so necessary if we are going to be successful. God has established a leadership in the church, and that leadership is to be followed. You know what's wrong with most churches? They don't want to follow their leadership. They believe God calls a man to their church, and yet they won't follow him. They buck everything that he tries to tell them in the Word of God. Now, let me tell you, there's some that probably don't need to be followed. But if you've got one that preaches the Word of God, lives in the Word of God, follow that leadership. that God is leading with. They followed Joshua. It's a leadership that cannot be demanded. It's a leadership that cannot be forced. It's a leadership that must be earned through prayer and commitment. God says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you as they watch for your souls, as men who must give an account to God. Folks, I'm going to give an account to God one day for what I teach you. I'm not going to try to teach you something that leads you astray. Matter of fact, people don't always like what I have to say. Me and Brother Bill was knocking on the door a few weeks back. Young man came to the door, and he said this, "Oh, we want a church that teaches the Bible. Man, we want a church that preaches the Bible." He said, we tried to find one up there in Dallas. They wouldn't accept us because we weren't married. I said, guess what? We won't accept you either. I said, you can come to church. We'd love to have you in church, but you will not join the body of Christ living in adultery. You know what? He didn't like that. He didn't come back. Brother Bill said, you sure didn't win no friends there. I did it in a nice way. You can ask Brother Bill. I am polite. Man, I am polite. I just said, oh, you want to know what the Bible says. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The bride, Christ, the church is the bride of Christ. Now, do you want your bride clean or do you want your bride dirty? God wants his bride clean. And folks, you can't dirty up the body of Christ. It's not written in the Word of God like that. You obey what God's Word says. I said, young man, we would love to have you, but I want your life right with God. And then you wanted to know what the Bible says. That's what it says. You should have joined the church that wouldn't let you join because they were right. The others just tickle your ears and say what you want said, and that's not being what God's Word says. You must obey the Word of God. Now, let me tell you, I'm not saying about leadership because some of you are giving me trouble. That's not it. I've got the greatest church group in the Gun Barrel. I started to say the world, but I don't know about that. I won't stretch the truth. I'll just say Gun Barrel. But the happiest churches I know of are the ones that follow God's leadership. And if you're not following God's leadership, you're going astray. And our days, and I'll be preaching on a lot of that next week, our days are full of trouble. Our churches are full of trouble. The fourth ingredient is claim God's promises. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given to you. The promise of abundance. God said, listen, you don't have to live in the wilderness of want. I have given you a land of plenty. When I came here, I said, Lord, I don't know about Gun Barrel, but you promised me that every place the sole of my foot shall tread, I will give to you. Only be obedient. And I've tried to be obedient. Every place that your foot touches down, I have given to you. And you can have abundance. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live in debt. I really believe you don't have to live in debt. If you'll obey God's word, you know why most people are in debt? They're not obeying God's word. God says, put me first. And you know what? We make out our budget and we put out house, cars, restaurant, Walmart, gas, and if we have any left over, we put God. He's not going to bless that. But that's the way we do. I've had people think, boy, they think they're real spiritual. And they said, preacher, man, we give all that we can, but we just don't have much left over. I'm saying you got it all wrong. Why don't you try to give God first and live off the leftover? You'll find it goes a lot further. You'll find that, hey, you know, I'm not wasting money anymore. I'm not doing those things, and yet God seems to bless you everywhere your foot touches. A life filled with joy, a life filled with peace, and a life filled with victory. That's what it's all about. It's not wealth. Money doesn't make you happy. Man, if money made people happy, we wouldn't have rich people, you know, committing suicide all the time and on drugs all the time. You know, money doesn't do that. There's a promise of victory. There shall not any man be able to stand before you, God says. Man, Joshua was one of these men that God just continued to bless. The armies that came against him, he listened to God. Then there's a promise of strength. Be strong, he said. God would not say be strong and not give you the supply of strength to do it. When I came here, let me tell you something. I was weak-kneed. I didn't know nothing. Still don't know a whole lot. But I said, Lord, if you want me to pastor that church, you're going to have to do it through me. And God has always been there. I don't always preach good messages. I'd be stupid to think that, you know. I'm kind of like, well, I ain't going to tell that joke now. We would never got rich selling, Rod, never would got, she'd have got rich selling those eggs for every bad message I preached. I'll guarantee you. But you know what? God blesses. God blesses. God blesses. Are you weak? God says, I'll make you strong. If you'll obey him, you'll meditate on his word, you'll let him do what he commanded you to do, he will bless you with strength. And then there's a promise of prosperity and success in verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. God says, if you'll do the things I've asked you to do and obey me and follow my leadership, meditate on the word of God, claim my promises, then you'll prosper and have good success. I would think Joshua had good success. And then there's a problem of the promise of companionship. God doesn't say in here, when we go out there, no, God goes with us, doesn't he? In the hard times, where's God? He's right there. In the thorny times, where's God? He's right there. When you're tired, when you're weak, where's God? He's right beside you. He lives right here in you. He will give you the thing. Never alone. Never alone in this life. And then, Teddy, this is for you. You got to overcome fear. he was talking about fear. I know several times he says, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. People never claim the promises. They never live in the abundant life. They never win souls. They never have a victorious life because they're afraid. Fear stops them. Oh, preacher, I'm just so scared to knock on that door. Why? Hadn't God said, everywhere you go, I'll be with you? You know what I found? Those people inside are more nervous about you standing outside than you are of them. Just tell them about Jesus. If they give you an opportunity, tell them about Jesus. The success is not whether or not you win that person to Christ. The success is to knock on that door. You see? And I know how we do it a lot of times. Oh, nobody's home. Let's go. I like Brother Bill. Bam, bam, bam. He hits on them doors about like he hits on your chest when he walks by you. You see, Satan is the author of fear. Satan wants you to be afraid. He wants you not to go forward in the victory of God. He don't want you to claim the promises. He wants you afraid to serve God. He wants you afraid to try to tithe. You see, as long as he can keep you afraid, you're not going to be victorious. He'll whisper in your ear, "You can't do that." But God says you can. Who are you going to believe? You see, we let Satan grip our heart in fear, and he freezes us from taking a stand for Jesus. Take that stand. I've heard people say, "I'm afraid what people might think." Well, I don't really care what people think. It's what God thinks that matters. It's him I'm going to have to take a stand one day. We sing, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." You know why great churches aren't great? Because they have fear in them. The Bible says, "Fear not." Fear not. You want to be a success? Take a stand for Jesus Christ. Confess him as Lord of your life. Claim his promises. Stand on his word. And you'll find prosperity. You'll find victory. You'll find joy. Because the companion, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and be with you. No matter where you go. He says, "Joshua, as I was with you, so shall I be." Or, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you." Folks, if you'll claim these verses of Scripture, you'll start living these verses of Scripture, you'll find success in the spiritual life. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, to be a success, first you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. You've got to give it over to him. 100%, see? You've got to sell out to him. We don't have to be afraid. Besides, I wasn't really picking on Teddy. I'm kind of scared of the dark. I confess that too, you know. Little booger bears out there. No. Don't ever scare me at night. I'm just telling you, don't scare me at night. You'll come up dead. I'll be saying, "Don't he look natural?" Somebody once told me, said, "Well, I'm going to come down there one time, and you're down there in the country at our cabin. You're down there by yourself. I'm going to come down there and break in on you." I said, "You'll be dead too." "You wouldn't shoot me, would you?" I said, "No, but I'd shoot somebody breaking in." Folks, God loves you. God loves you. He wants you to be a success. I'm not just trying to pep you up. That's what God's word says. He wants us to live victorious lives. And if you're not living a victorious life in Christ Jesus, something is missing. You go to God and find out what's missing and confess it, get it right, and start living what God says in this passage of Scripture. And let me tell you something. You'll come away with a different attitude in about a month. Because his word will start filling your heart. The world pitches all the negative at us. All the earthly things at us. All the fleshly things at us. And that won't do it. If I could just get our people to see, God wants us to obey him. He'd rather us obey him than sacrifice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we've looked at these things about successful Christian living. And Lord, I pray that we'll do that this year. We'll just live for you. Put you first in everything. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen.